This is a assessment that is conducted jointly annually between FAO and WFP to try and estimate what the previous year's crop production is, what the conditions are for livestock production, in order to determine what position the country will be in for needed food imports in the commercial sector, and if there are gaps, what types of food assistance, humanitarian assistance for livelihood support, and other measures that are needed. So this is an annual affair. It involves not only FAO and WFP, but has a high involvement of our government counterparts at the national and state level.
Given that many people require food assistance, what will FAO do to help the vulnerable people in the short term?
This year, FAO has a target of assisting over 1.2 million people to improve their food security through their own efforts. That includes about 630,000 people that will be assisted with farming inputs, and of those includes a core package of feeds. In addition, we work, of course, in the livestock sector, where we have a number of emergencies we have to respond to, including two types of very serious epidemics that are happening right now, including in some of the highly insecure areas. This is hemorrhagic septicemia and East Coast fever. The government in particular calls on FAO to assist in these types of emergencies because we help them with the cold chain, we help train based animal health workers, and we help with disease surveillance.
What do you think needs to be done to end food insecurity in the long term?
This is a great question, and I think one of my agriculture officers, Joseph Okidi, who's been working here for so many years, he says that the food gap really should be of concern to every livelihood and food security activist in the world. And I really think that we do all have to come together here in a combined fight against hunger. And I know that FAO and WFP are working to new ways to look at our both very sizable programs to say, are there new ways that we can work together to combat hunger? But for the medium term, we will need to be using humanitarian, peace building, recovery, and development funds to really move farmers, pastoralists, and fishermen from subsistence farming, which is highly risky, particularly given the climate variability and the continuing insecurity in some areas, to move them from subsistence to sustainable, resilient, climate-smart production.
How does insecurity increase the number of people that are food insecure?
We are concerned about the double threat of violent insecurity in some of the states, combined with deepening austerity that is already putting quite a lot of downward economic pressure on vulnerable populations, including in the urban areas, which is a population that maybe we haven't paid enough attention to in the past, but this year will certainly feature prominently in the strategies. South Sudan has been independent for 19 months, and it's still trying to consolidate what it means to be a secure, independent nation. And we must remember how difficult it is to go from a very protracted war to finding a stability in a national identity. And that's a long-term project that is very much so at the center of efforts by the South Sudanese government with tremendous support from the international community as well as for the peacekeeping forces here. But for this year, yes, there will continue to be pressures. There will continue to be insecurity, and it will make all of the UN agencies, all of our partners, and the governments, as well as the populations, need to be very reactive and ready to assist in case populations are displaced, in case cattle are lost, in case disease epidemics spread because there are unusual migrations of cattle. And that's really what we're preparing to do now.